Our passage today is Matthew chapter 2, Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you sovereignly created a star to bring the wise men to worship the Lord Jesus. We thank you, our Father, that they adored your Son, the Lord Jesus, and then presented their gifts as an expression of their love to him. And that we find in this passage you bringing the nations to yourself to worship your Son. May we ourselves meet you in this passage of scripture and have our lives changed by it. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 2, starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." I want to begin this message with telling you something I read in Reader's Digest about the acceleration of people buying motorhomes. The acceleration of buying motorhomes, because it allows you all the conveniences of your home, except you can travel away wherever you want to go, as long as it's on land. So a camper no longer needs to be contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, and trudging to the stream or the water pump to get water. You can drive your fully equipped home to a cement slab that has a few trees around it, and you can enjoy all the conveniences of your living room. Many motorhomes now have satellite dishes attached to the top. So no more bother with inhaling smoke from a fire. No more bother with cooking over a fire. No more bother with roasting marshmallows over a fire or having s'mores. No more bother with trudging to the water pump. In fact, you don't even have to, you can go camping without going outside. Because what a lot of people do is they take the furniture from their living room and they put it into their motorhome to fully equip it. Now, here's the point. The reason I brought this up is because when God sends the Holy Spirit by his transforming power, we lose all hope in ourselves or any other way, no matter how alluring it is, of salvation, and we trust in Jesus Christ alone. And that begins the Christian life, a total transformation of the heart so that our orientation is Christ. However, we then are changed in our way of life, so we leave behind the old. Forget the furniture in the living room and instead seek to move with Christ to deny the old life of sin so that we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. Because the problem with a motorhome is you put the old furniture in, you're in a new setting, but you may not even realize that because you may never get outside of the old furniture. So this message is about walking another way. That's the last phrase in the verse. I thought a lot about that phrase. That phrase is not only literal. Yes, they walked back to probably Persia, another route. They were changed in their hearts by worshiping and adoring Christ. So I want to look at this from two standpoints. The change in the wise men when they were led by the star to worship and adore Christ. They were changed internally. But even more importantly, anyone who has met Jesus Christ by faith is forever changed internally by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you are walking in another way. So we'll look at this again in 3 points. Walking with Jesus Christ as your only way. We are not told a lot about the change in the wise men because the story of those Eastern visitors breaks off at verse 12. No doubt, the God who sovereignly created the star to lead them to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, and who spoke to them in a vision not to return to Herod, was able, in his all-sufficiency, to illuminate them to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, I recognize the passage doesn't say that, but our God was able to do that, and they did bow down and adore Christ and then presented their gifts. And I want to suggest to you that this star was not the tail of a comet. I want to suggest to you this star was a specific, miraculous creation of God for this one-time event to lead these magi to Jesus Christ where they would worship and adore him. In other words, this was a miraculous doing of Almighty God who set the stars in place in order to lead them to worship Christ, signaling that in these last days, God is bringing all nations to himself. I know there are other views, including planetary motions and... But I want to suggest to you this was a unique work of God to sovereignly make these wise men come to the place where they would see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords born. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." How blessed we are to live after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. We have a God who is our Father above everything, who controls all things in our life. We have a Savior who is resurrected from the dead, who walks beside us through his Word and Holy Spirit to guide us. And we have the Holy Spirit burning in our hearts through his Word, directing us closer to the Savior. God is the God who guides his people. Now, also, we are not to think that God directed these magi to Bethlehem simply to point out that God was going to bring people from other nations to himself without any concern for these magi. I doubt that. God wrought changes in them. Specifically, what they are, we do not know the whole picture of how God changed them. We don't know how or to what extent, but there can be no doubt that God changed them, and we are not in the dark about some of those changes. First, the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for a political king, and they discovered a spiritual one. They came to the capital of Jerusalem. Why? Because the expectation was that this king would be born into Herod's family, and that all of Judah would be rejoicing at his birth. And they did not find that at all. And when they asked, well, where is this king to be born? What did they learn? They learned from Micah 5:2 that this king would not be a political king. He would be a spiritual king who would shepherd his people, Israel. In other words, they came to the court of Herod, bloodthirsty Herod, who killed his own children to protect his kingship, in order to find a political king born in Herod's family. And what did they discover? They discovered a spiritual king, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they worship and adore. That's the first change. The second change is this. They would have come to Jerusalem expecting that the religious leaders would be as excited as they were about the object of their search. And what did they find? They found that they were not. They found that the formalism, the indifference of the religious leaders to the birth of Christ. Christ was born, 5 miles from Jerusalem, and these religious leaders couldn't even walk the 5 miles to try and discover where Christ was born. So they would have been changed. Why? Seeing that their trust could not be in political leaders. Their trust could not be in even religious leaders. Their trust must be in the one to whom God would guide them. And then thirdly, the gifts. The Magi presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as an expression of their adoration, precious gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold to symbolize Jesus as King of Kings. Frankincense would symbolize because it was used for incense in the temple, Jesus' high priestly ministry. And myrrh was used to embalm those who died, symbolizing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin. So they presented Jesus with gifts. They presented Christ with precious, costly gifts that were natural for them to give, that flowed from them, and that were costly. As an expression of their love and adoration for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they didn't know much, but they acted on what they knew. You know, David said in 1 Chronicles 21:24 that he would not give God a gift that was not costly to him. As an expression of their faith, the wise men are examples for us, because what we can learn from the wise men is to pray, to see what gift or gifts we can give to the Lord as an expression of love that are costly to us. And that in the giving of those gifts, that we first give ourselves. What do? They bowed down, they gave themselves, and then they gave their gifts. So there's much change God wrought in them. They were changed in regard to their object of worship, and they were changed in regard to their view of the leadership of their day. Let me ask us a question. Have you experienced, in some sense, in a greater way, the transformation of the wise men? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and had your way of life changed as a result, or are you walking in your same old way? Have you met Jesus Christ in the gospel and bowed to him as your Lord and as your Savior? Jesus is the only Savior that can fill the God-shaped vacuum in our souls. Jesus is the only one who can meet our emptiness with his fullness. In our day today, people are searching, rightly, for more meaning in life, for more joy in life, for more hope in life. And the last 2 years has only intensified that search. But the tragedy is that they are looking for it on this earth and not up above in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus had his visit with the woman at the well, he told her, he pointed to the well, that stagnant well, and he compared it to the world's provision for the soul. If anyone drinks of this water, he'll thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him streams and reams of living water. That's what Christ offers when we trust him as the only way. God tells us that the wisdom of this world spiritually is foolishness. That the true wisdom, the only wisdom, is found in Jesus Christ in the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Anywhere else than Christ, you will only find judgment. But it is in Christ that you will find, in the place of the judgment of sin, the blood of his sacrifice to cover it. And in the place of judgment, the wondrous grace of God. So walk with Christ is the only way, then walk with Christ in his all-sufficiency. How are we to walk in Christ's way? I want to encourage and urge you by commending to you the way of Jesus Christ. First, it is a definite way. We read about that in Isaiah 30, 21. God says to us, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you walk to the right or to the left. God's way is a definite way. Oh, we live in a world that is where there is so much confusion, where people are wandering, and worse than that, where people are lost. They're moving about. The pace of life has quickened because in many instances, people are searching and searching, and they can't be still because there is no peace in their souls. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Jesus said, broad is the door and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many will enter it. But small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. Our way leads to ruin. Romans 3, 16 and 17 tell us that the danger, that the way of man, of sin, leads to ruin, and there is no peace. But the way of Christ is definite, and it leads to life. It leads to peace. It leads to joy. And once we trust Jesus Christ, and we seek to grow in his grace, by reading his word, by praying, by participating in the body of the church, that we have a growth in a definite way of learning more and more of the will of God and growing. The word of God encourages us. The word of God is a lamp that gives us light. And the more the word is in your heart, the more God will show you his word. The more you obey the word, the more God will show you his word. If you don't obey the word, if you're indifferent to God, God's not going to show you anymore until you obey. Because the way of God is a definite way. To whom has much will be given, but to those who don't have, even what they have will be taken away. It's a clear way. It's a definite way. You know, what impressed me this week, I thought about all the educated people in this world who cannot answer the question, who am I? They have a great deal of education. They know a lot about a lot of things, except what matters the most, which is found in a personal relationship with God. Who am I? What is the meaning of my life? Is there something or anyone beyond me? People are searching for these. These are the most important questions and answers that are only found in Christ. Why? Because God reveals answers to these great questions in his word. Who is God? Jesus said in John 14, 9, he who has seen me has seen who? The Father. You want to know Jesus Christ? Read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and you will find God is like Jesus. Jesus is a window who shows us the glory and grace and righteousness and power of God. Who am I? The Bible teaches us that we are sinners. And yet, despite our sin, we are valuable, so valuable in God's sight that God sent his only Son to give himself for us. It's in Jesus Christ that we discover both our unholiness and our value before God. And what's our purpose? Jesus said, come follow me, and I will what? Make you fishers of men. So everything we say, everything we do, everything we think is important because it is to point to Christ. Because Christ calls those who follow him into this world to share the good news of the gospel with others. So that's D. What's P? P is the way that God has set before us is perfect. It lacks nothing. All that we need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is provided to us by the all-sufficiency of his grace. What does the Gospel of John 1:18 through 20 say? It says, we will be given grace upon grace upon grace, an infinite measure of grace. It lacks nothing, for Christ lacks nothing. It is hard to walk in it. Yes, it is hard to walk in it, because when you walk with Jesus Christ, you can expect to get tackled. Because you're carrying the ball. Person in football who carries the ball gets tackled. The closer you are to Christ, the more faithful a witness you are, oftentimes, the more you will be treated with indifference and downright meanness by those who are convicted that they need Christ. What did the Apostle Paul say in several places in 2 Corinthians? We are an aroma of death to the world and of life to those whom God is saving. In other words, the gospel cuts both ways. It draws and it repels. And when people are repelled, they will in turn attack believers. But this way is perfect because it is planned by God who knows you, who loves you, and who is directing you into his perfect will, and who never makes mistakes. This is taught strikingly in Psalm 18. I want us to turn there. There's two verses, Psalm 18, 30 and 32. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. Verse 31, for who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God, the God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. Isn't that striking? The verse says, first of all, that the way of God is perfect. Then it says the way that God sets before us is perfect. In other words, because God is perfect in all of his ways, the way God sets before us is perfect. It's a perfect way. I want you to think about this for a moment. How did the Magi perhaps know that there was to be a Savior, King, born in Bethlehem. I would submit to you that out of a judgment of God in BC 587, when God sent the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar to completely destroy Jerusalem, many people were killed, but Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel to Babylon, to the east, to Persia. And Daniel was exalted by God to a place of leadership. There was a whole generation of Israelites who had grown up with God's word who were deported, where they could plant the seeds of the gospel in Babylonia. And out of that judgment of God came the seeds of the Old Testament being passed on. We don't know to what extent, but it's very likely that these magi and others from the East would have heard about the Messiah. Never give up on the witness to the gospel. God is able to bear fruit in his time according to his will. God's way is perfect. Trust him. And then third, S. So he got DPS. Okay, so it is a decisive, sure way. It is a perfect way, and it is a secure way. It is sure to get us where we're going. God will get us where we're going. Turn to Romans 6, 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When by God's rich grace, God changes our hearts, giving us the new life of Christ, bringing us to faith in Christ, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are united to Christ, and therefore we are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to God. That our slavery to Christ leads to freedom from the power of sin. Obedience to God leads to liberation, to be all that God intends for us to be. And what is God's goal for our life? It says it right here. God says it right here in verse 22. But now that you have been set free, the fruit is growing Christ likeness. And the end, full assurance of eternal life. God will keep on growing you in holiness as you keep on seeking him. And in the end, he will bring you into victory. You know, when you die, if you're a believer, when I die, when our loved ones die who are believers, it is a loss. It is not a defeat. Because they enter into the perfect presence of God and are perfected in soul forever. What a secure way. Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of his hands and the Father. It's almost as if our Lord sensed in John 10:29, we need encouragement. We need to know that the saving hands of Christ that were crucified for our sin are wrapped around us, our souls, along with the hand of the Father, so that no one can snatch you from God. Because God is all-powerful. So if you are united to Christ, you can never lose your salvation because God is preserving you. Yes, we are weak, but He is strong. Yes, we are prone to stumbling and failure, but He lifts us up and draws us back. Yes, in this world, we face great enemies, including Satan, but God is infinitely greater than them all. So DPS, it's a decisive way, it's a perfect way, it's a secure way. And now we close with this: walk in relationship with Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, keep walking in God's way. Keep walking. Yes, there are difficulties in life, but the Lord sends them to strengthen and purify our faith because He loves us. For every trial, the joys of following Christ are much greater. The wise men were overjoyed when they saw the star because it pointed them to Jesus. And like the Magi, let us express our love for the Lord Jesus by giving the best of ourself, giving ourself to Him, and then giving those gifts. Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy, present yourself to God. Similar word to that used of the Magi, who presented their gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 2. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented their gifts. Give yourself to Christ and give your gifts. Because, think of this. When the Magi presented their gifts to Jesus, as a baby, He couldn't give them anything back. But He would go to the cross and give them far more than they ever gave Him. Whatever we give to Jesus, He gives us so much more than we ever give Him, but He uses what we give Him for His glory. And then finally, if you've never trusted in Christ, do what the wise men did. They traveled a great distance. They were ignorant, but they didn't let their ignorance keep them from searching for Jesus. And they met with indifference, but they didn't let them keep them from resting and repenting of their sins and trusting in the Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, trust Him. Turn from your sin and ask the Lord to have mercy. And He certainly will. Those who come to Him, He will never cast out. So walk with Christ as your only way. Walk with Christ in the all-sufficiency of His way. And walk worshiping Him as your only way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, the gospel. Thank You, Lord, that You walk with us Enable us, God, to walk with you in deeper fellowship, in greater love, and may we worship and adore you as you enable the wise men to do with our whole lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.